What's Trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. While the Royals took game one of their series against the Pirates last night, Noah Cameron got to the seventh inning, pitched seven innings for the first time in his career. Game two tonight at the K, 6:40 first pitch. Seth Lugo on the bump.
Looking forward to Lugo. Good. Another good game by Noah Cameron last night. Maybe talk more about him later on in the show as well, as he really, really did have a good game here in just a few minutes. Next up on What's Trending, as we mentioned in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, Mark Donovan says an April ballot is more likely if the Chiefs proceed with a Chiefs renovation plan that would include a tax incentive with Jackson County. So that is the more likely of the two scenarios than the November one we had originally thought. Well, that does kind of push the timeline back a little bit. Question is, how much longer can they drag their feet on this?
It's crazy.
And not make some kind of decision. I don't think the Royals are going to tell us anything in July, but it feels like I can't think of how many deadlines have been blown through by teams, counties,
they don't mean
states.
Anything at this point.
No, they don't. Meaningless deadlines.
Deadlines don't mean anything at this point in time. Elsewhere at What's Trending, just some college sports realignment news. Grand Canyon announced that they've been eligible now to join the Mountain West Conference a year early. In all athletics, so that'll be this fall. So remember, in 2026, the Pac-12 is reforming. They're going to have Boise State, Fresno State, and some of these other schools join the conference. So the Mountain West needs some new members. Well, Grand Canyon, who's got a nice little basketball program going out there. Remember, they're a for-profit university. That's somewhat controversial, but that's what's helped their athletic program in a great way. And they're going to join the Mountain West beginning this fall.
Similar to Gonzaga, no football.
No football, though. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, which I mean, look.
It's definitely a basketball conference. It's definitely a basketball conference.
Everyone who isn't the SEC and the Big Ten at this point is essentially a basketball conference.
Should focus on
the
basketball.
The SEC and the Big 12 obviously are decent football conferences, but they're never going to be the kings of that. Why not be the kings of basketball? Or at least be a competitive basketball conference is probably a pretty good way to go. And lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget, coming up this Sunday, we'll talk more about it throughout the week, Wittisons officially launched yesterday. We are the senior Wittisons, and as part of that, we're putting on a little event for you guys this Sunday at the K outside of Gate B for Bobby. Mm-hmm. Make that nice and easy for you. We will have a Bobby Witt Jr. lookalike contest with mystery prizes. Good mystery prizes, to my understanding. We will have swag. Gold's holding up an official Wittison sticker. Can you show me? Can you show him the maybe a pin? Or some eye black.
Well
there's the senior Wittison one. There's a white one that goes in that. And
the
then
eye
there's
black
some
is
eye
just
black.
On. I mean, you can
That's
just
on your
see
face,
it,
you yeah. Know? You can see that as well. We'll have some of that out there as well. Looking forward to seeing you all out there. Hoping to have a bunch of people try out for the contest. I'll be honest, Alex and I are scheduled to be the judges of that. So I don't know. Should we tell people on Friday maybe what we're looking for? What we see in a champion of a Bobby Witt Jr. lookalike?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have the facial hair to go along with it, I think that's going to be a big thing for me.
You know, you're looking at the bone structure of their nose hair, to make sure.
Whether
you know,
it be painted on
yes,
or real.
Yes, exactly.
But
yes.
The goatee feels like it's got to be on there.
I think that's going to be key as well.
I mean, everybody get a little button. I'm going to stick these on my kid's
backpack.
Drew,
we got to get
so
you the
change.
Eye black, man. I know it doesn't have Joe Burrow on it, but you can still wear it.
When I play baseball, it was one of the fun. The eye black thing was a requirement. For all of us. We love
sticks,
the eye blacks.
Not stickers when I was a kid, so maybe that speaks to my age. We put eye black on with a marker.
That's the way that we did it. We would take it and then spread it to, you know, make it like not just a
Someone
straight
wants to
across.
Know if we're going to wear the eye black when we play in the KC Current Media game on Saturday night. I might.
You should wear the wigs. I think that would be fascinating. You know?
The wigs would be too hot running around.
I'm not wearing this crown and trying to do
But you might crown, talk me into wearing the Wittisson eye black during the media game. I don't know. Maybe. Might be a little out of place, but why not? Why not?
Yeah.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, if you're thinking about what to do for food today, lunch, dinner, or any day of the week, our friends over at Third Street Social, the spot to go, part of the Summit Hospitality Group, the official taco partner of Cody and Gold. Three locations, no matter where you are in town, near you. How about up in the Northland? Lee Summit, also the South Plaza location. Third Street Social today has $2.50 tacos at any of those three locations starting at 3:00. So Taco Tuesday over at Third Street Social.
As of right now, the text line, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We already did that, I'm sorry. People over in the text, I don't have the headphones on anymore, so it's throwing me off. Because we're wearing these crowns for the Wittisons.
Yes.
People were asking us, like, where can I buy the stickers? As of right now, if you want to be a founding member of the Wittisons.
Sunday's
where you're going to have to get this stuff. We don't have it for sale yet. But as at the moment, you know, if you want to be a founding member, almost a senior Woodison like ourselves, you got to come on Sunday and get some of this stuff. There'll be plenty of it, I believe, to hand out. And again, you know, you can get the haircut and do the whole thing. It's going to be fun. The eye black, I got lots of those. I can't burn through those. We'll make sure everyone's got plenty of eye black coming up on Sunday. Should be a fun time in the crowd, man.
Yeah, we'll get Drew dressed up as well by the time we get to Sunday. We'll get him all in.
Drew, I don't think I have. They didn't send a third crown.
They didn't.
We'll get some eye black.
I'm going to be totally honest.
Got the other stuff.
Based on the way that this thing has been, I'll be lucky if I get to go to the game. I'm going to be honest.
Textline said that they weren't sure if you were deserving.
We're getting you into the game on Sunday.
The Textline said they weren't sure if you were deserving of senior Woodison status and questioned whether.
What, like junior Woodison is what I.
So if he should be amongst the regular Woodisons rather than just being a part of. Senior Woodisons than there are, as far as I know. We're the only two senior Woodisons.
I mean, I think Drew gets a senior Woodison badge for sure. Come on, man.
I would take being a regular Woodison over a junior Woodison, which is
camp.
Sounds like I'm 10, yeah.
Yeah, summer campy.
Definitely.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll talk more about Trey Smith, who has about a week to get a deal done with the Chiefs on a long-term deal. That's coming up in just a bit. Of course, random question of the day later on this hour as well. But I want to get back into where this Royals team is at right this second, because we're in a five-game stretch observing an offense that looks like what we were hoping the offense to be and what we saw the offense be last year, and that is the big three and Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi all at the same time are hitting. Vinny's been hitting for multiple months now. Bobby's been hitting, I'd say, since the middle of last month. And then Salvi's having a nice start to the month of July or so. It's not that complicated when we've talked about this offense the entire season, which is, can you ever get the three of them hitting at the same time? And that'll solve all your problems. And it's only 5-6 games now, but that's why it's not a coincidence. They're winning some games, they're scoring more runs. It's because of those three. It's nice to see Nick Lofton get a home run, but with all due respect to him, he's not why the offense is going to make or break here. Okay. Yeah. Down the stretch, you know,
hit a homer.
Yeah. Good for him. First one at Kauffman Stadium, I believe, in his big league career. But it's about the three, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. It's nice to see also if India could get going in the second half of the season too, but this offense would have to do this at minimum for the rest of the week before you're convincing me that, okay, they found something. This is all great. I'm not trying to knock what the last five or six games are,
but
let's still be realistic about the situation. They are still five back of a wild card spot. They just did it against the Pirates, which is great. Okay, finish this series out. Win this series. Keep it going throughout the rest of the homestand, a place where you've struggled to win games. And then we can talk next Monday and see where things are at if they put together a week plus of this offense of those big three. So they're playing better baseball, no doubt. But it's a very small sample size out of the 92 games they have played.
I think what you said kind of stands out the most about it, which is it feels like last year's offense. I'm still not like blown away with all the other contributions. Mikel Garcia having an excellent year. Jonathan India is now a league average-ish player over the last month of the season. So that's big. But again, it's going to rely on so much more offense continuing at this rate the entire time. But you're right. Go get the series win against the Pirates tonight. Don't put it in the hands of Wednesday night's game and hope that that's the one that you come together and then wait for the Mets to come to town and get two out of three against them too and feel good about yourself going into the All-Star break. Right now the Royals are what? 4 or 5 games still below 500?
Four under 500, five back, I believe.
Four under 500. So the five games they have remaining before the All-Star game, if they could go 4-1, well then you're talking about a team that's just a game back of 500 and you are somewhere. You are back to where you need to be in order to kind of make this post All-Star game push. There are a couple of players, including Cags, who I know we'll talk about in a minute, who I think could use the All-Star game as a break. But yeah, the offense is coming around. I have been continuously impressed by Noah Cameron. I told you really early in the season, start 1, 2, 3. I was like, I'm going to need a little bit of time. Not a big strikeout guy. I'm going to need a little bit of time before I decide what I think the career or upside of Noah Cameron could or will or might end up being, because at some point a big adjustment from the bigs will come his way and all of these teams will come and make it. Every week shows up.
Yeah, I would say what's really impressive is I still have my long-term concerns, can he replicate anything what he's doing next year, etc., and I don't worry about that next year. But what impressed me the most was earlier this year when one of his first starts was against the Cardinals. And then he turned around like 2 or 3 weeks later and he pitched against the Cardinals again. So he saw a team for a second time in a short period. And he was still very efficient and I won't say dominant, but he pitched very well in that game. That to me was the sign of, okay, now this can be, at least for this season, sustainable. You're right. Like, he's never going to be a guy that's going to strike out a bunch. He's a, you can tell, very, very smart pitcher. Like, yes, really smart. Reminds you of Reminds you of Seth Lugo in that way.
There's a, like, I'll be honest, when he got called up, I thought, okay, it's just like another Jonathan Bolin. I had no expectations for Noah Cameron. Just another dude at the back end of the rotation. I thought might do something. Now I have some hope that maybe they have a three starter in there. And I didn't know it, because once he got to the bigs, his stuff ended up playing a lot bit better. I get it. Some of the advanced metrics, like the strikeouts, are going to work against him, or the fielding, independent pitching, or all those things. But more than anything is, he's not giving up. He's good at not giving up home runs very often. And he doesn't walk guys. And if you do that, you're only going to get in so much trouble. He's not giving up a ton of hits. He's not giving up a ton of walks. And if you do that, for the most part, as a pitcher, you're going to be pretty successful. And I think that that's what has stood out probably the most about him and where he has been so far this year. I mean, if he continues this all year, again, he's a 2-WAR player now, end up being a 3-WAR pitcher for this team.
Does that make what he's doing? I'm curious, because, you know, you guys have been covering this team for longer. Cody, you were the insider. Does that make what Noah Cameron's doing, I think, more impressive, because he doesn't have the strikeout?
Yeah,
like he doesn't have that velo where you're like, you have to hit your spots, and if you don't, you're going to get hit, and you're going to get hit hard all over the yard. Where what he's doing, he has to be pinpoint accurate all the time for him to be as effective as he's been.
And I'm not saying he has no chance of winning it. Jacob Wilson is obviously going to win the AL Rookie of the Year. Seems fairly obvious. Maybe Cam Smith makes a push, but...
Yeah, Noah Cameron's not winning Rookie
of the Year. But he should be... No, I'm saying he should just be higher. That's all.
Yeah.
The type of season he's having, he should be higher in the odds market or higher in the respect market than, you know, I don't know, Jason Dominguez or Roman Anthony. He's been better than those players.
Sure, agree.
Nick Kurtz, he's been better than those players. He just consistently has been one of the 5 best rookies in baseball probably this year. Now, look, I get it. Mizorowski or whatever's got a chance on the NL side. At least one of the 5 best in the American League, no question. 3 best in the American League.
Yeah, somebody was asking on the text line, 913-586-7965, why are you both shocked about Noah Cameron? That's the whole point of developing players. A couple of reasons. One, he's not a top prospect, and he's not a strikeout guy. So if you're at, like, why did we not expect it? Look, other than Noah Cameron's family, I don't know anybody that expected him to pitch like this. I mean, the Royals didn't expect him to pitch like this.
Or they weren't talking about him that way, you know?
No, I mean, like, even JJ's been honest with us, even about Chris Bubich. Like, they thought Chris Bubich would have a nice year. They didn't think he would pitch this well. There's no way the Royals thought Noah Cameron on July 8th would have 11 outings for the big league club and have what's his ERA again, Cody?
2.56.
No chance. No chance. And again, credit to him, he's doing it. But like, if you're asking, like, why there wasn't hype, it's the same reason. It's just the way prospect system. Why was there hype around Mizorowski on the Brewers and Chase Burns for the Reds? They were top 10 prospects. Top 10, you know, at least in Burns' case, top 10 prospect in all of baseball. Mizorowski was a top 30 prospect in all of baseball, I think, or 50, 30.
30
that's why. That's all it is. Like, doesn't guarantee you anything. You got to go out and do it. And Noah Cameron's going out and doing it. So props to him. But that's why there wasn't the expectation on when Noah Cameron made his debut in Tampa at that spring training stadium of the Yankees. Okay, nobody was thinking a star or number three pitcher for the future for the Royals.
I remember you guys talking about it, and it was like, yeah, he's probably going to get sent down again here.
He got sent down immediately after his first start.
And for the fact that he was able to get called back up, and he's played his way into, there's no reason to ever think that he can't be what he's been.
Yeah, someone said, what if Noah Cameron throws a perfect game? Is that jumping to Rookie of the Year candidate? He would probably have the second best odds all of a sudden, yes.
He nearly had. I mean, he was tracking it.
He's 75-1. He's got the same odds as Jack Caglione. No,
but if he pitched in this crazy hypothetical in the text line,
I think he'd be like Roman Anthony territory, 30-1.
Perfect game. He would get attention. People would pay attention to his numbers all of a sudden.
How far into that no-hitter was he in that debut?
Six and a third, maybe, or something?
Yeah, 6 1/3, I think.
Yeah.
So in the seventh inning.
Yeah, yeah.
Jacob Wilson's winning Rookie of the Year. We know that. I mean,
technically, the odds have gotten a lot closer on that.
Who else is going to step up?
Cam Thomas is the guy.
Or Cam Smith.
Or Cam Smith.
For the Astros.
For the Astros. He stepped up. So he's the next. He's only plus 170. He's at least in the ballpark.
Wilson would have to really fall off, though.
I agree.
Or get hurt, which you never want to see.
Speaking of a guy who we thought would have a chance to compete for Rookie of the Year when he got called up earlier,
yeah,
Jack Caglione, who's off to a rough start to his major league debut. And his first month as a big league player, a little over a month. And for the first time, JJ in pregame, I heard him say something that I haven't heard them say, which is he felt like he was getting a sense that it was getting to Jack a little bit. The lack of big league success. Look, there's still no power. He has the one game when I was in Texas and could have gone when he hit two home runs. And outside of that, he does not have a single ball over the wall in the big leagues, absent that one afternoon in Texas where he managed to get two. And I'd be kind of surprised if it didn't get to him right now. I still think it's going to be, I think the All-Star break is a good thing for Cags. I think he gets to step away. He gets 5 days to take his mind off of it, relax, breathe, catch your breath probably for the first time in your big league career, settle back in, watch some tape if you want, and then head back out on Friday or Saturday. I think it's Friday when the season starts back up and you kind of get underway. It seems like of all the players on the team, the All-Star break's coming at the best time for him.
Just to reset.
Yeah, and then you give him a few weeks after the All-Star game.
Yeah, so he gets the month of July.
To do this before you make your decisions about if you need to send him down to AAA. Because that's going to be a real conversation in a couple of weeks, if it continues.
Yeah, he gets the month. He gets the month, and then you kind of see where he's at. If there's any signs, and you don't want to completely, you know, kill any bit of confidence or whatever that exists. Because it's as much as you say you don't want to kill it because you keep him in the big leagues, also, what does it do if you send him to the minors, though, too? You know, and a top prospect and you get sent back down. And there's plenty of examples where top prospects have been sent back down. It's worked out still long term for them. But I also don't think, and maybe here's the thing, if guys like Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi can hit the way they're hitting the last five games and they can extend that out
then
for another week,
you can afford to give him more time.
Well, I also think, does that also help him? Just yeah. not even time, but like, is the pressure gone at that point? Where everybody's, you know what I mean? And if the team's doing better, does he feel less pressure? Other than some of the specific stuff, and you and I have talked about it on the show. I know we had JJ last week. He said a lot of the swing analysis stuff is similar to what he was doing in the minors. We just haven't seen the results. And obviously they have looked at that data you and I haven't looked at. This goes back to the whole hitting development thing.
There's a certain amount of time I allow that, yeah.
This goes back to the hitting development thing and the hitting coach thing as well. And like the concerns about how has this happened all of a sudden, other than just the big jump to the big leagues. He's got holes in his swing. We knew that when he got called up. I think everybody's surprised to the extent that it's been exposed, maybe.
I think that's, JJ essentially said as much, like over on Twitch, somebody brought up, like it should bother him. That's what JJ said. He said, I'd be more concerned if it didn't. Like, at some point, you want those struggles. Like, we saw Vinny bothered by his early season struggles, remember? Like, he went out there, and he's like, I don't understand, and yeah, I'm frustrated, and I'm not hitting well enough, and I know that, and I got to go fix these things. I never expected him to just step into the big leagues and be an immediate star right away. I don't know if that's just because they were kind of warning us that some of the things that he wasn't, that could be problems at the big league level, he was going to have to be exposed at the big league level in order to adjust. That's where the AAA thing could be good for you. You now know the things that they're going to exploit. You're going to have to be a pickier hitter. You can't swing as much outside the zone as you were able to get away with against AAA pitchers. So the things that go in there, but also as confidence is massive in the sport. I'm still not outside of if he just goes 5 for his next 9, if it doesn't just unlock. My problem is, in a weird way, do you want him to get hot before the All-Star break? Or I think the best case scenario is the last 2-3 games, these 5 games, I guess, gold, he gets something going and then he gets to take a few days off, not thinking about how much he's struggling versus if the level of struggle he's been doing for the last 5 days continues. And then he's got to struggle like this for 5 days and then sit on it for the whole week, gold, thinking about how he's still struggling in the big. That's tough. That's really tough. And then you got to try to keep that kid's confidence up. Why, he's got nothing to do but think about it during the All-Star break. Maybe just goes home and finds a new place. I don't know. Maybe he's finally looking for a place in Kansas City. You think they just put him up in like a dorm for now?
No, a condo or something initially, but I'm guessing by now they probably found a place, his fiance or whatever. I'm not sure, man.
Found a lease? I don't know how that works. I've never asked a player a detailed enough accounting of when you get to the big leagues, how long do you have before you got to like find a place?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll happen pretty quick for him, I'm sure.
I imagine they've got some places you can just stay for at least a little while. Because what are you doing for the guys who are going up and down the I-29 corridor? You're just forcing them to keep an apartment in Kansas City?
They have condos or apartments in Kansas City for some of those guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Just, you know, how long do they give you before you got to find a place? From the 620, the facts are he's an automatic out. Right now he is.
Yeah, he's not hitting well.
No one's trying to deny that, I don't think. It's just whether or not you think he can come out of it at some point this season, or if it's a year two thing. Like for Jackson Holiday, for instance, he got sent down his rookie year. He has come up. He's not having like some gangbuster year for the age. He's having a good year, and he needed the send down and then the calendar turn and a fresh start. And, you know, like, it, what version? Can he fix it after the All-Star break is what we care about right now. Not does Jack Caglione have no chance to be a quality big league player? I don't know that yet. That's just
you're saying the send down would be to fix the to get the confidence up and then bring it back up again, because
yeah, and to work on some of the thing swing things, you know, that they're attacking you on now.
Yeah,
like he got exposed a little bit in the big leagues. Happens to a lot of guys.
That was part of the conversation though, that I think you guys said it, and even I don't know if JJ brought it up to an extent, but he did. There was nothing more in AAA that he needed. He was going to get exposed in the big leagues. That was just going to happen.
It was just batting practice. He was going to have to go to the bigs.
Yeah, he was so good in AAA that he needed to get that, not wake up call. I think that's a bad way to say it, but you know, that experience, if you will.
Yeah, that's all. Just outside of that, just looking at it. But you know, at least some change in there would at least make it. So, but again, he knows that. He already did the stuff other guys do. Cut his hair. It's growing. Facial hair looks different. Like, he's already doing some of the stuff that all of us do when you're in a rut. And you're like, especially if you've ever played any sport, you're just like changing your socks, changing the way you wear the pants, changing the hair. If you need a haircut, by the way, this Sunday, you can get a Bobby Wood Jr. one outside of Gate B for Bobby as part of our Whittison launch. But yeah, I think a fresh start after the All-Star break would be big. I'd love for him to just have like a hit 300 for the next 5 days, then get to just be like,
yep,
catch your breath, and then come back into the second half and be a big time player for this offense.
Yeah. I'm still buying stock though. I'll tell you that.
Oh,
I'm still buying stock.
Stock? Are you buying cards right now?
I'm not.
Are you still in the card game?
That actual stock as well. Yes. Actual stock in the card game. I'm not selling stock on CAGs. That would be foolish to do at this point in time. All right. Up next, let's get to random question of the day. And who could get a deal by this time next week? Who needs a deal by this time next week with the Chiefs? Coming up in about 8 minutes, we will get to the random question of the day. We'll see what Cody's got in store for us. I don't know.
Okay, so this one was insomnia fueled. Couldn't sleep last night.
Did you lose power last night? I woke up to like beeping. It went off for like 5 minutes and an AC kicked back on. And we were good. But like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden the power went out. I know we had some rain, but it wasn't like severe.
It was storming pretty good, I guess, in the middle. Yeah. But I got knocked out
just for about 5 minutes.
I couldn't sleep. So I, and then randomly something popped in my head. And so that'll be the random question today.
I don't know if you caught this, Cody. And I don't know if this is actually true. You said it kicked off about 4 a.m, but then after that it kicked back on and we were good. I'm just asking.
Good catch though.
Good catch. Yeah.
I do appreciate you asking that. Yeah. Someone did to call him fine yesterday on Twitter, so we got to make sure.
And we were good. Like just what you would say. Like
we is in the people know, of the got, apartment
got,
complex.
Yeah, we were good
you.
To go. Like we.
I got you. I got yeah. you.
I understand what you're
What's
saying.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Try to catch him.
By the way, also you know what? We, my dog and I, we're good.
There you go.
Good cover.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Either way, it was in the
Monday night. I got a little crazy, Cody, you know?
It'd be an interesting night for what we're suggesting here. But you know what? Maybe it's been happening for weeks. And you've just been keeping it real quiet, Drew. Right. You never know.
I don't know. I felt the need to ask.
We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in just a few minutes, as you mentioned. But we're 1 week from the deadline.
Yes.
For Trey Smith. So there's no confusion. I think every once in a while this is one of those easy ones to miss. Trey Smith has to sign a long-term extension in the next week, or the Chiefs cannot sign him to a long-term extension until the free agency period, the tampering period essentially begins next year. So they can't enter contract negotiations with him after the season, but he is not allowed to try to get a long-term contract if he misses the deadline in a week. We'll talk about in a minute whether or not we think that the quietness part of that and the fact that we've heard nothing is good or bad. But the thing that interested me was when I went back to Chris Jones, I realized how much he affected all the other contracts, how much I feel like he had an effect on the Nick Bolton deal when they were talking about maybe doing that one early and some of these other offensive line deals when they were talking about doing those early, or maybe what they even offered Trent Williams or all these other. It just threw off all the contracts because they knew they wanted Chris Jones so bad. it felt like it put everything on pause. And my fear is that for some reason, Trey Smith doesn't get his deal done in a week. It's going to hold off on any potential McDuffie extension, any potential George Karlaftis extension. It's going to make the guessing game on the what you do with Patrick Mahomes numbers more difficult. And so, like, I think it just throws off more contract decisions more than you think. And so, like, that's just another reason why this deal is important to get done in a week.
In particular, Trent McDuffie, because I'm convinced that Karlaftis, they're going to play this thing out till the end or till next offseason, at least. Whereas McDuffie, for the reason that you mentioned with other corners that are potentially going to get deals done before the start of the season, most notably Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, I don't want that contract in a year.
And what he's going to get paid, you could cost yourself a couple million dollars across the contract or a per year average, depending on what the deal is. And so you can't really do that until you get things cleared up with Trey Smith. I still think it does get done, but you want to be able to move on. Like, they can get a deal done with McDuffie while we're up in St. Joe. They can get a deal done the day before the day of the season. That's cool. Trey Smith, you got to get it done next week.
That's the deadline.
We were joking about deadlines with the stadium stuff that's moved 100 times. No, there is an actual NFL deadline for franchise tag players to get a long-term deal done. That doesn't move. There's no, we actually meant August 1st. No, it has to be done next week.
Yeah, it's not like a pretend deadline, or it's a real deadline in which it has to get done. I think the fact that we've heard nothing is good. I think normally if it sounds like things aren't going to get done, by now I would have heard blank and blank thinks, I'd have heard Jeff Darlington or Tom Pelissero or some NFL reporter, Schefter, being like, the Chiefs want $24 million a year, but Trey Smith wants $27 million a year. Hell, I'll be honest. I think we've been hearing that for 2 weeks by this point with the Chris Jones one a couple of years ago. So the silence on it is actually a good sign for me.
I think it is as well. I would also say, you know why? I don't think there's negotiation needs to happen, but I don't think there's a ton of uncertainty. You kind of know what the per year average has to be based on what the tag price
23
is.
23 to 25 million a year. So
you kind of know what the price is. It sounds like the debate is 4 years versus five. And then maybe how much is guaranteed, but you kind of have a baseline to go off there. Like, I think we kind of know what the discrepancy might be and where the negotiation is lying. I don't think it's like there's a ton of stuff to figure out. But yeah, it's go time on it. It's definitely go time on it. And if they're far apart, I think we will start hearing that this weekend. I think we'll start hearing it Friday or Saturday. That, okay, you know, the two sides are not close. You know, I think they are close. You know, what percentage-wise, I think they get a deal done with Trey Smith.
80?
The reason why I think it's 80 or 90, Cody, is because I'll give the organization the benefit of the doubt on this, which is I don't think they trade Joe Tooney unless they were confident they would get this deal done. Because otherwise, it is a big, big mistake. Because you're only getting Trey Smith for this year, and then you're going to have to deal with it in the offseason again. And yes, Cody, it kind of holds you back from figuring out deals with McDuffie and or Karlaftis.
And then next year you also have to figure out maybe right guard, and you're not even sure if you're figured out at right tackle, and you're only this year going to find out whether or not you're solved at left tackle. It's like, is that what you want to entertain? In addition to the extra contracts it's already asking questions about, the ones we had mentioned, Gold, the contracts at McDuffie and Karlaftis, the guys who are already in-house, you would then also potentially be like right back in a brand new offensive line rebuild. There's a chance, like if this Trey Smith deal fell through and you don't get it done the way you did the Chris Jones one, you could be looking for a new left guard, because we don't know if Kingsley's going to work out. You could be looking for a new left tackle, left guard, right tackle. Well, that sounds like a horrible way to go into an offseason. At least be sure that right guard is locked up. Then you can be like, well, you know what? Maybe we got a little more flexibility outside of that. And yeah, maybe you do get lucky and Simmons is the goods, and you're good to go at least there. And you can just say, okay, Joshua Simmons is good. We're good at left tackle. Now we're good at center. Now we're good at right guard. Now you're getting down to like solving a couple of things. Maybe get lucky in Kingsley, right? But if you have to solve right guard in addition to it, good luck. Good luck figuring that all out in an offseason. That just sounds like a headache. This deal has just too much contending or too much writing on the rest of it. Like, I just kind of feel like you have to get it done. Concede the couple of million, pay him what he's got to be paid. And the fact that he wants to be here should make this deal easier. It's not even like a well-kept secret.
Believe both sides want to get it done. And I still think it happens. We talked to Nate Taylor about it last week. And you know, I think he also said he thinks it gets done just based on you having to get this thing done. And when both parties really want to make it happen, usually you can come to an agreement on something. And in this case, deadlines truly do spur action. Kind of waiting around. Now we're almost here. Because it's one thing when we played the comments from Brett Veach right before the draft, and it was funny because he was asked about Trey Smith, and he's like, well, his agency's really busy with the draft, so we're... It's like, you know, if that point, if you were close, then you would have got it done. You would have got it done then. So we'll see. Next week, obviously, we'll be talking about this, and certainly if there's any update or news on it throughout this week as well. But something to keep an eye on, because it does have a massive trickle-down effect to some other pieces in this Royals organization.
It certainly does. And, or Chiefs organization. We're going to have to pay a lot of attention to it. Yeah. It's fine. It's kind of hard to shake, when you're dressed in a crown and sunglasses. The wig's itchy, man. I ditched the wig.
Cody, you don't have a wig or the glasses. We're losing each piece.
I wanted people to be able to see the eye black.
Every segment we're losing. Cody's going to take the crown off next. We're losing everything, man.
I wanted people to be able to see the eye black.
You can see
it. See it under the glasses?
Yeah. If depending on how low you have it, yeah.
Fine, I'm back.
The wig is a little itchy.
Should I just stick this across my
chest? Well, you got to have
put it on my laptop? I've never put sticker on my laptop.
I just have a case. I don't have it on the laptop. I have it on the case,
I don't have a case on
the laptop. Senior Whittison,
Anyway. Unlike my cell phone, I guess. That's not...
I think it's happening. I think Trey Smith gets a deal by Sunday. By Sunday.
I think it happens before the deadline. But I'm still pretty optimistic. Like I said, I mentioned 80% to you, and you're like, hell, it might be higher than that. Mm-hmm. I'm still very confident. The less I hear, the better. If I start hearing Trey's actually looking for blank, then I'll start to question the security of it. But to this point, at least I still feel pretty good.
Random question.
Gotta make sure, because we can't wear headphones with these crowns. It really throws me off.
I have headphones next week. I can hear.
I kind of miss it.
I can hear Drew talking.
I kind of miss it. The random question today is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. So for you, Gold, you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Certainly a good week to go watch the video stream, seeing how we're dressed up kind of ridiculous every day. I'm wearing my The Boys Are Playing Some Ball jersey that Quick Trip sent me with the number 7 Bobby Wood Jr. number on it. So thanks, Quick Trip. Appreciate the support. I couldn't sleep last night. I was sitting up in the middle of the night thinking of random stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, out of nowhere, a song had popped in my head, and I'll explain.
No,
hold on. I promise I'll explain it in a minute. I'm going to ask the question first, then I'll explain the song as it sits, and then you'll realize how far back this goes for me at this point.
Okay.
What it made me think of is, I want you today, the random question is, what is a piece of schoolwork you did that you were still proud of today? As in, you did it, and you're like, man, I kicked ass on that assignment. And for the rest of life, you won't forget it. All of mine, and you will not be surprised by this, are still in the creative field. So in the fifth grade, I remembered we had to do a thing a historical event. And we did ours on the Alamo, in which I played cannon fire through a yak back into a karaoke machine to really bring people in the immersive experience. That still stands out as being like, I crushed that assignment. No doubt. I did my best. I also liked the children's book I wrote called Joe's Big Spooky Head. Big fan of that. No, like regular work. It's all just creative nonsense. One time I had to do a PSA for the blood drive for a class, and we just spent the entire time in a giant blood drop suit beating it until it gave enough blood that it could actually help save a life.
I was pretty proud of that.
What's that?
What are these projects?
These are the... Look, man, you can make school whatever you want it to be, essentially. You guys didn't have to do a children's book? Everybody did that. Everybody did do children's books? Requires you to write, create...
I just don't remember any of this stuff.
You remember a single piece of school?
I remember some. I don't remember myself doing anything like that.
Props to you for remembering. Clearly, you're very proud of the work you did.
Twitch immediately said, "Where the wild things are, pastel in fifth grade art."
Yeah, I don't. There's not a specific project where I was like, "Man, did a great job."
Did you do
in fourth
a dare
grade.
Essay or something?
No,
it could be any level of school.
I have one.
The only project I remember, it wasn't even a project. I had to do a whole report I had to do mine on T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State in his wind. He was big in solar panel as wind energy or
solar
whatever.
Okay.
I had to do a whole report on a report on that. But
I didn't do a report on Josh Gibson in sixth grade talking about why he was the best power hitter in baseball history. I was pretty proud of that paper.
There's a couple of good ones. I know in elementary school we did. Everybody was like assigned an animal. We were doing endangered species.
Okay.
And I had the Kodiak bear, which is a it's a relative of the grizzly bear, etc.
What do you still remember about the Kodiak? Anything?
So, oh, no, I couldn't tell you.
I was hoping you were still actual, a bunch of Kodiak bear.
But I remember, so part of it was you had to, one of the sections, if you will, of this report was a, you had to talk about the habitat that they lived in. So I made a paper mache, essentially it lives in the mountains. So I made a paper mache mountain with a river, had some fish, had put some Swedish fish in the river to represent the fish. Had like a statue that I got at the zoo of a bear that looked similar to a Kodiak bear.
Yeah.
Popped that on the paper mache and made a huge, like, it had to have been.
Sticks out, he remembers it.
I mean, it was a good size. It was like a size of the poster of a poster board, probably. That's about how big it was.
All kinds of them over on the text line. People remember. From the 816, I created a replica of Andy Warhol's zebra painting with pastels.
Ooh, nice.
Someone said they won their science fair experiment in the sixth grade. That would always stand out, right? That would constantly stand out, I would think, outside of there. Someone said they built a walnut dresser from scratch, which kudos to you. I don't think I ever got that far into the woodworking part of high school that would have gotten me that far down the list. What's funny is part of the reason I remember this is when I was pitching potential children's book stories, we had to stand up and pitch three potential children's book stories. And for one of them, I had created, I wish I was kidding, it's like seventh grade, an entire song to go with the story pitch.
Of course you did.
And I can't believe, and so like last night in the middle, and I'm like, man, I've been just doing this for way too long. And then I remembered, what I couldn't believe is, despite the fact it's been, I hadn't thought about that song. It was a story about a Fred the Turtle. And I couldn't believe that I still, like, immediately some of the lyrics came to head. It was because it's to a famous rhythm. It just said, there once was a turtle and his name was Fred. He wore cool boxers. They were deep magenta red. Then one day he decided to go to Maui, but his friends didn't want to, so they all had a cowie. And there was a whole, there were like four verses. Like, I'm not kidding, Drew. I wrote the whole thing.
I don't know if you heard. I beatboxed to a little segment of what you just did. Very good.
So, I don't know, man. I was just like, it hit me in the middle of the night, and then I'm like, you don't seem proud of any of your schoolwork.
Yeah, dang.
You did something in college you thought that was work for the time?
Maybe I'm in the minority. I just, like, I don't care what I did in third grade project-wise anymore. I don't, like, you're like, what project I was proud of third? No, like, not really. Like, nothing stands out, really.
Gold wasn't worried about the schoolwork.
I mean, I think he was a fine student.
Gold was winning.
Cody
sounds like he's still proud to this day about five projects he did in second grade.
Oh, at least. Well, those are spread out.
I'm not saying Gold.
I don't remember anything I did in second grade as being standout as quality.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't worried about the schoolwork and stuff. I'm just saying he was too busy. You know, he had other things going on. He was talking to the ladies. He was too busy winning recess. Like, he didn't have time to remember the schoolwork stuff.
What was the longest paper you ever had to write?
But here's the thing. Honestly, no joke.
5,000 words?
No, but here's the honest issue. Like, so with this random question, no joke. So Cody was up for an hour, couldn't sleep, so he was thinking about it. Cody's asking me this on the spot.
Cody was
up for 5 hours thinking about school projects 25 years ago. In 3 minutes, I'm supposed to remember every project they did in elementary school.
I thought one would stand out.
I told you the one presentation I had to give. I think I made a Velociraptor diorama once or whatever, but that's about all I remember.
The longest essays I always had to write were in college, which makes sense, I guess.
For those who are saying that sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies theme song, it is. It does not sound like it at all. It's definitely that. That's what it was modeled after. Do you guys? I still can't believe you guys didn't have to do a children's book. We had to
make them in middle school, and then we had to go
read them to the elementary school students.
After people texted
in,
I did something similar, but it wasn't a history book. Like I wrote a book on Dr. James Naismith inventing basketball.
There you go.
But it wasn't to the level of what you're explaining, Cody. It wasn't to that level.
Text line says Dink would grade this question a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, the way he's grading
his ranking system.
He would have crushed this one.
He would, because
he would have crushed this one.
Gold had, when you weren't here, obviously, but Bill Self's desk was being auctioned off, and Gold asked if you could have one desk of anybody, essentially. Like,
context is needed. Bink was supposed to have the random question. He didn't have one, and we had to come up with one in 10 seconds.
Yeah, Bink forgot, didn't want to come up with one. So Gold asked it on the fly, and then Bink was like, it's a terrible question. It's like, Bink, you didn't have a question.
Yeah. Anyways. And you'd have to give me a lot of time to think about what I did in projects in elementary school.
Well, it could be middle or high school. Yeah. It wasn't limited, you know.
Yeah, in general, though. Yeah.
Do you remember any of your science fair projects?
Someone says, I don't remember what I did Sunday. How am I supposed to remember third grade?
Some of us, you know, sitting up in the middle of the night thinking about those things, you know?
Yeah.
What was your best recess game?
So I enjoyed tetherball, but I don't know if that was my bad. I enjoyed tetherball for a while. They don't even allow to play tetherball anymore.
They play Gaga ball, which
I'm
is
sure
the
they got late. It. At,
tetherball is fun. Otherwise, just kickball. Still. Everybody enjoys
I
kickball.
Honestly think we should take the power of this show and convince schools to eliminate Gaga ball. It's the lamest.
I'm not familiar with that.
Recess game.
Tetherball was very popular at the time.
It's
though,
like
man.
If dodgeball yeah. and tetherball were the most boring games on the planet, is essentially what it is. Gaga ball is an octagon pit in which there's a ball on the ground, and you have to essentially slap it to try to roll into the other player's legs. As you can imagine, can't really get much juice on the ball doing it that way, making it a far safer alternative than the games we played as a kid. Because I also don't think anymore, like, I think they play less like kickball and stuff too, because they don't want kids pelting each other with those, like, you know, red balls.
Wait, they can't even play kickball anymore?
I'm just saying they do less of that kind of stuff. There's way less of the physical contact than the sports we played in elementary school.
Were they doing yoga out on in recess?
Doing Gaga ball.
Do you guys ever do kickball basketball?
Kickball basketball. Explain.
So essentially, you have the you have the normal kickball, but if you let's say I kick it and it goes and it goes deep and it hits the ground, if you get like let's say I want to get to first, or if I want to get to second. If you are in between bases and they get the ball up to a basketball, to the basketball goal, and they make a basket, if you're in between bases, you're out. If you're not on a base, you're out. So you can kind of steal an out, even if it hits the ground, I guess. Okay. You want to throw the ball at the individual running. You would just try to get it into the basket.
Middle school PE teachers saying, Gaga ball is very popular.
Right, yeah. So now it's your people mentioned the egg drop project. Is that another one everybody did?
So they play kickball every day. They play football every day. They play soccer every day. They play tetherball every day.
I didn't know about tetherball. That I was unsure of. I just know that all the playgrounds have the Gaga.
I figure, like, why would they be able to play kickball and soccer and tetherball and all these other things?
I don't know, man. They changed it. They still got the little scooters.
Oh, where your finger gets pinched underneath in gym class? Yeah.
Those were all, I loved those scooters. Yeah. Those
would you do an adult version of that? Like, if we all just had like a gym, would you guys play a scooter game right now?
The closest thing to that is the office chair games, which is a charity fundraiser they've done in Kansas City before that we participated in like a year ago. And basically you're in office chairs, right? But you do like you scoot around a gym and do different, you know, challenges and stuff in an office chair. I would say that's the adult equivalent to the scooters.
Like corporate challenge stuff, you know? I'd still probably play some kickball.
There were
80 variations of kickball and dodgeball at school.
I'm still thinking about this project. And there was one thing that we did that actually was really freaking awesome. In high school, we had, so each 9 weeks were divided up differently. The class was an hour and a half in high school, and it was half English, half history, in the same room in a big area. There was a project we did to the song We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. Everybody in the class had what was assigned a topic from there. So I was assigned talking about Khrushchev and the space war, essentially. But
that's ironic considering the conversations we've had about space on this show
very,
with you.
Very
Drew,
true.
Drew covered the space race and he's like, oh, this
and
is
now
a scam.
Him and his wife very said the moon true. Is fake.
My project was on the space race, but so your project, your entire grade for the 9 weeks was that project. You didn't have any tests, not anything. Everything was into that project. If you got an earlier version of it, let's say week one of the 9 weeks, I presented my project. I could chill the rest of the 9 weeks because the entire 9 weeks was people presenting these projects. So if you presented on day three, you got to chill for the rest of the 8 weeks and not do a single thing for that class. It was great.
That doesn't sound that bad, honestly.
That's the random question of the day.
Yes, that's correct. Brought to you by KC Urology Care, but
I hope you sleep better tonight.
I hope so, too. Yeah. Normally, if I have a bad night of sleep, I'm so tired that the second night, it's not usually a multi-night
Was it
situation.
Because of the storms or you just whatever?
I don't know. Just couldn't sleep. You know? Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
And you thought about school projects.
I'm surprised honestly, you didn't write a song that popped time. In my head. I could probably do two more verses of it without even thinking about it. That song popped in my head about Fred the Turtle Goes to Maui. And I don't know why I could still remember and recite some of the lyrics from it, but I could.
Someone says, did you just say Drew thinks the moon is fake? Well, if you've listened to the show for a while,
I don't.
His wife has talked. We've had his wife on the show before to talk about it as well. Yes.
She has since converted to a moon believer, but the moon landing. It's the landing okay. Now.
Oh, the moon.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that question the landing.
She's converted to the moon is real.
Okay, because that was really, really wild at the time. We were trying to explain, like, what happened? What do you think that thing is up there?
Some cheese.
What do you think that whole thing is up there? It's just, we got a projector somewhere that just projects it up there for all of us to see. That's all it is. All right, up next, let's get to the 1 o'clock hour and talk more about what Bobby Wood Jr. will not be doing next week and the best version of one particular Chiefs player in 2025.